And happy to have with us right now from the Browns and a longtime NFL linebacker and a great friend, Scott Fujita. This, Scott, first of all, New Orleans is home to you, or has been a home to you for a long time when you played for the Saints. So this really has to be a nice experience just coming down here for that.
Yeah, it's great to come back, and it's good to see you down here in New Orleans as well. I mean, I always loved the city. I was never shy about my affection for this place. So to come here, and it's been a while. It's been about a year. It's just good to come back and reconnect with a lot of old faces, and especially to see the Super Bowl being hosted here, which to me, it really is the greatest host city out there. I mean, the hospitality in this place can't be overstated. It's amazing.
Did you think this would happen post-Katrina? Did you feel that there was any hope that you knew the history of Super Bowls being played here, but after that, from 2005 on, did you have your doubts that, hey, this isn't going to come back to New Orleans?
To tell you the truth, we didn't know what we had or what to expect when a bunch of us were brought here in the spring of 2006. We had a bunch of kind of ragtag guys, cast-offs from other teams, all trying to come together against the wishes of our friends and family, and we thought, hey, who knows what we're going to have here, but it felt like it might have the chance to be something bigger than football, and that was a commitment. So guys like Drew and I, we all came in about the same time. We were fielding our team all through training camp. We're adding guys to the roster, the actual starters, up until the first week of the regular season. So it was a challenge, but to get where we are now, certainly you would dream of something like this, but I don't know if anyone really thought it was possible. But it's just a testament to the resolve of the people of this community coming back, you know, reinvesting their money and rebuilding homes and restaurants and hotels, and just the infrastructure of the city. It's been so impressive.
And it means something. It meant a lot when you guys won a Super Bowl for this community, and they took such great pride in it. It was a rallying point. It was a strengthening. And then this is like the second phase of that, to host the game.
It really is. And again, for it to come full circle, and I don't think a Super Bowl has been hosted here since maybe 2002. So it's been quite a long time. But it's good for the Super Bowl to be back here. Like I said, I actually think it ought to be here every year, to tell you the truth, because it's just so conducive to putting on events like this. I'm proud to be here for this week.
Now, you're also proud to be here about something else that connects to your time with the Saints, and it's the NFL players and coaches standing together to cure ALS, and of course, the whole connection with Steve and Team Gleason. Steve Gleason, the former Saints linebacker who's suffering from that disease, and all you guys as a group have taken it upon yourselves to create awareness, and I know you got a lot of events going on. Break it all down for us.
Yeah, many of you listeners have probably heard the story about Steve Gleason. He's a former teammate of mine, a really close friend from here in New Orleans. From his football playing days, he's most well known for doing what I call the block punt herd around the world in the Saints' first game back to in the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina versus the Atlanta Falcons. Steve was diagnosed with ALS in January of 2011, so we're about 2 years post-diagnosis now, and from the very beginning, Steve wanted to put together a support group around him called Team Gleason. We developed a foundation, and it's just slowly grown and grown and grown. One of the cornerstones of the foundation initially was to really help improve the lives of patients, and that's by pushing the envelope on technologies, finding groundbreaking ways to help people live with this disease and also thrive with this disease. Well, this week, we're trying to take the conversation to the next level. Not enough people know about what ALS is, what it does to patients, what exactly it even stands for. So that's why we're creating this platform. We just rolled out a new PSA to kind of create that global conversation and to ultimately bring all our heads together and find a cure for ALS.
And in the forms that you do it, number one is just this, getting out there in the media. And I see you've done a whole bunch of interviews throughout Radio Row. And when I just bumped into you, you were in the midst of something there. There's camera crews following you around and so forth. And the whole Team Gleason effort, I mean, it's amazing to me to see how much passion and energy is devoted to this. This guy has really touched people. I mean, touched people in a special way. I know there are other causes, and I know there are other issues, and other people suffer from various things, horrible things. Why, though, is this one so special to so many? Why such a tight bond here?
I think it's a combination of things. One, Steve is a very charismatic guy with a lot of very unique qualities that we're all drawn to. And he was that way long before this diagnosis. But I think, honestly, what this diagnosis has done, it's heightened all those great qualities he has. And we reach out to guys around the league to put together this PSA that you can view at www.teamgleason.org. People didn't hesitate, you know, reaching out to some of the best players in the history of our game. You're talking about Ray Lewis, Joe Flacco, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Past legends like Ronnie Lott, Bill Romanowski, Dick Vermeil, Herm Edwards, all of them without question, what can we do to help? So it's so nice to see others in our business want to stand arm in arm with Team Gleason and say, hey, let's create a conversation about this and create some awareness, because this is a disease that's been underfunded and largely ignored for far too long, and Team Gleason wants to do something about that.
Scott Fujita joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from Radio Row of Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans. There's a little football game going on Sunday, you might have heard. And I know you know a lot about both teams, but you probably are more conversant on what the Ravens are all about, being in the AFC North and having followed them and their growth and development into this team. What are your observations? Because when I think about the Browns playing them twice this past year, both, particularly the first one, was a winnable opportunity. And the second one, there was more of a separation point, but still competitive. I just didn't see the Ravens as that team, I guess. A lot of us didn't until you got to that final quarter of the season.
Yeah, there's something going on with the Ravens right now, and I don't want to say it's magical or anything like that, but they're coming together at the right time. And more often than not, that's what it takes this time of year in the National Football League. A few years ago in New Orleans, we started the season 13-0, and we lost our last three games. And everybody thought, oh, they're going to be one and done in the playoffs. But we found a way to rally and come together, and we went on a great run to win the Super Bowl. And Baltimore seems like they're doing that right now. You know, the Browns, obviously, we played them tough this year on both occasions. The Browns are certainly closing the gap in that division. But, yeah, the Ravens, by and large, have played good start to finish. They had a few stretches where, you know, there were some ups and downs. But they're playing pretty good football right now.
What are your impressions of what Ray Lewis has been all about throughout this career? As again, looking linebacker to linebacker, looking at someone who obviously has made this his final game, but seems to have been so much more than just a player, and the way he's affected things. And I know it's almost turned into a caricature, and Saturday Night Live and others have had fun with all that he brings in terms of his personality. But there is something, there is some substance there to that. Is there not?
There really is. Yeah. And certainly the other players in this league, especially the linebackers, we look at him as the best linebacker of our generation. There's really no argument about that whatsoever. But when you talk about what he means to that team and the spirit he provides in that locker room, I don't know Ray too well over the years, but Tony Pachos, you know, who we all know from Cleveland,
right,
was one of Ray's teammates down in Baltimore. And hearing the way Tony talks about Ray and how he means everything he says and the passion that he speaks with, all the things we see on TV all the time, it's that times 10 in the locker room and on game day.
Sure.
And it's just contagious. It's infectious. And all the guys, you know, are drawn to that. So he really is the total package when it comes to being a football player in this league.
The longer you're around this game, the more you see change. That's just inevitable. You've seen quite a bit of it in Cleveland in the time that you've been with the Browns. And especially this past season, as young as that roster got, Scott, and now the changes with the coaching staff and so forth going forward. But just your general thoughts on where this team is and where you see it going, just based on what you know of a lot of these young players that are there.
Well, I think the table has been set talent-wise. There's no question about that. Some of the young talent that they brought in the last couple of years has been outstanding. Tom Hecker did an amazing job of setting that table. There are some huge changes going on right now. I anticipate there being some personnel changes as well. But I think Jimmy Haslam will be a great thing for the Browns organization and a great thing for the city of Cleveland. To have some stability, which he keeps talking about, will be good. There's going to be some growing pains, as there always are with change. But again, we always talk about talent. And I think it's important for the new coaching staff to be mindful of, you know, you can't always try to just plug players into a scheme. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to fit a scheme around the players you have. And there's so much talent on that roster. And once you keep honing that, I mean, again, you got a bunch of guys born in 1990 on that team.
Yeah.
So these guys are young, and they played really competitive last season. All right. The injuries we had to all the vets on the team, those guys rose up and were competitive. So the table has been set.
And you mentioned Jimmy Haslam. What about him strikes you as giving you the encouragement that that he can ultimately be the guy that leads the turnaround of this franchise?
He's hands-on. He's involved. He's mm-hmm. present. I remember from his first press conference when they introduced him as our new prospective owner, he just owned the room. And I think to have someone who's visible, who's in Cleveland regularly, who's downtown, who realizes that there are certain areas that can support each other between the team and the community, all those things are so valuable to building not just a great team and organization, but also the brand of the Cleveland Browns. And everybody benefits from that. All the residents in Cleveland, all the business owners, the players, their families, the coaches, all that stuff works together. And I think he gets that vision.
What jumps out at you about the young talent, especially from the defensive side? And I'm going to presume when you look at it from a linebacker's perspective, it's those guys in front of you that help linebackers do their jobs better.
No doubt about it. You know, defensive linemen, I always love those guys. So when they go out and they draft D linemen in the top of the first round, I get excited about it. Those are the guys who have always protected me. But, yeah, just looking at the roster across the board, DeQuell, I don't know if you would still consider him a young guy relative to the rest of the roster, but I still see him as a relatively young guy.
Yes.
He's still pretty fresh. He missed a couple seasons there, and I know that was rough on him. It gave him a chance to kind of stay a little bit fresher too. Mm-hmm. But he is the catalyst for that whole team. And I can't say that enough, how important he's been, how much I've enjoyed playing with him the last couple of years. So I can't say it enough. The table has been set.
Great. Scott, thank you so much for taking the time. Again, remind people on where they can get more information on Steve and Team Gleason.
Yeah, you can check out everything we're doing with Team Gleason again at www.teamgleason.org. We've got a big press conference lined up today. You'll see Steve speak. He's doing all of his public speeches now through his synthetic voice and eye tracking software where he speaks through a computer. It's really impressive. It's amazing. And everything he says is pretty powerful. So I encourage everyone to follow along.
Creating awareness for ALS. Our great friend Scott Fujita. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Vic.
All right, we've got more coming up from Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans. Radio Row, Vic Carucci on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.